waters of love.
Stand in the rivers of blessing.
Here find the renewing streams of mercy.
Here taste the wonder of God's goodness.
Feel the waters of life.
Know the joy of baptism.
See the springs of eternal life.
Sing the triumph of God's blessing.
And visitors alike to God's house. If you are a first-time visitor, there is a gift for you, a loaf of bread representing the fellowship of this church and Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Just go to the Welcome Center directly through the center doors here. It will be on the left-hand side. And now this morning, if you are anywhere near the center aisle or could scooch over there, please find the friendship pad that's in the hymnal rack. Please sign it. Pass down the row if there's anyone else there with you, and take a look at who may be worshiping near you today. We greatly appreciate you doing that. We warmly invite everyone to coffee hour and fellowship hall after services. As you know, our emphasis here is worship plus two. Participate in worship, then do something to feed your spirit and something to feed others. You'll find many opportunities for fellowship and ministry in fellowship hall today. The amazing chili cook-off is going to be next week. Proceeds are going to go to aid the children's at Henderson Settlement in Kentucky and the Methodist Children's Home in Costa Rica. So you can sign up at Fellowship Hall or the church office. It's a chili competition, and so we're looking for many chefs to step up to the challenge. Information's in the green sheet. And Kim Kozlowski, the founder of the Detroit Little Free Libraries, will give a presentation today at 6 p.m. for this unique literacy program and how our congregation can contribute. Detroit Little Libraries is working to promote literacy through the placement of little free library boxes in front of homes and churches and parks. Perhaps you've seen them. And each little library is stocked with books for children and adults. Church and Society is sponsoring this. It's at 6 p.m. today in Fellowship Hall. Dr. Todd Hibbert is going to begin his 5-week study on Jesus and the Jewish world of his day this Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's going to be in the CLC North Conference Room, and you are all invited. And next Saturday is the book launch for Reverend Laurie Haller's new book, Recess, Rediscovering Play and Purpose. There's going to be a fascinating program that begins at 2 p.m., and that's Saturday, the CLC. Tickets are available today in Fellowship Hall. Our faith community is part of a rich tradition. We invite all to come and learn about our history, our mission, our beliefs at our Faith and Heritage class next Sunday, January 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. in Thomas Parlor. Particularly if you are interested in joining the church, we invite you. There's information in the green sheet. And please remember that the church is closed tomorrow on Monday the 19th in observance of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Our next Live at First concert is this coming Friday, and I'd like to invite Casey Proach, our director of music, to come and tell us about the Coltrane Rhythm.
Good morning. Good morning. Next Friday evening at 6 p.m., we're hosting our first children's jazz concert on the Live at First concert series. This is the Coltrane Railroad that's coming to play for kids and their parents. It says, this is really an awesome opportunity. They have great, it's really high quality jazz music, and it's about things like about your belly button and juice and all kinds of little kid songs. So we really encourage you to bring the youngster in your life to the CLC. It's at 6 o'clock. That leaves time to be home in time for bed, and we'll have a nice little area that the kids can run around and play in while the music's going on. So it's a really child-friendly concert. So we invite you to bring the children in your life, and I've been assured that also most grown-ups secretly really like this music too. So even if you don't have kids, come out and see what it's all about. That's Friday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Casey. In our prayers this week, our prayers for healing and strength are shared with Drayton McClelland, who was hospitalized this past week. And we also ask prayers for the students and adult leaders of both our middle and senior high youth ministries. Both groups are on retreat this weekend with Pastor Lindsay and Pastor Chad. In our prayers for the world, tomorrow is the Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and in recognition of this holiday, we ask you to keep the dream of racial reconciliation alive in your own heart and life. We also ask your prayers for those living under the threat of imminent terrorist attacks in Europe. Our prayers of joy and congratulations are shared with the parents of the following children who will be baptized at the 11 a.m. service: Lillian Joan Dorsett and Samuel Wesley Rodriguez. Once again, friends, we are glad that you've chosen this day to worship God. May God's peace be with you not only today, but always. The path to authentic renewal is through repentance. In order to become more like Jesus, we must be willing to let him reveal those aspects of our lives which need to be changed. So let us accept Christ's invitation to come unto me, all you are weary, by gratefully and confidently laying our lives before God. I invite you to pray together with our unison prayer. Living God, some of us feel flooded. Too much to do too soon. We feel in danger of going under. Some of us feel empty, always pouring ourselves out with no way to tap into the source. Some of us feel blocked and stagnant. Judgments, denials, wounds, and frustrations all limit the flow of grace. We come to touch the living water and remember our baptism, knowing that you are beloved. Amen. In silence, let us make our personal confessions before God. Neither this world nor your life is so broken that God cannot restore it to wholeness. Trust and believe that after separation, reconciliation is possible. God does show us the way home. In the name of Christ Jesus, know that your sins are forgiven. Let us then pray as Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because God gives life, we have breath. And we have joy, and we have a loving family of faith. As the ushers come among us, let us show the depths of our gratitude to God.
Thank you.
thankful that when these plates are passed before your people, that they do not give with reluctance, but they give with joy, with clapping in their hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you would take these offerings now and bless them for the purposes of your kingdom, to build up your kingdom, to reach new people, and to help include others in this time of joy. We ask this in Christ's name.
Our scripture this morning is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." This is God's living word for God's living people. You too are God's beloved. Do you know that? Have you seen the movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou? Loosely based on Homer's Odyssey, the movie relates the adventures of Everett Ulysses McGill and his companions Delmar and Pete in 1930s Mississippi. Sprung from a chain gang and trying to reach Everett's home to recover the buried loot of a bank heist, they are confronted by a series of unusual characters. Among them are sirens, a cyclops, a bank robber, a campaigning governor, a KKK lynch mob, and a group of people coming to the river to be baptized. A woman with a beatific expression on her face says, "Come on, brothers, join us and be saved." White robes stream down the hill, out of the woods, and down the riverbank. The voices swell in a great chorus. "I guess hard times flush out the chumps," Everett says. "Everybody's looking for that good old way." But Delmar wades out in the river, cutting in line. The preacher holds his nose and dunks Delmar in the water, while Pete shouts, "Delmar's been saved! Well, boys, that's it!" Delmar exclaims, "I've been redeemed! The preacher washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's the straight and narrow from here on out. Come on in, boys. The water's fine." When Everett sees Delmar wading into the water to be baptized, he says, "Everyone's looking for answers." He's right, isn't he? Why does baptism matter? Because it answers the question every person asks: who am I? Baptism establishes our identity. Delmar is God's beloved. Jesus is God's beloved. And you are God's beloved. Some early Christian scholars found Jesus' baptism to be embarrassing. After all, John the Baptist proclaimed the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus didn't sin, did he? It's people like Delmar who need to be baptized in order to be saved and redeemed. In the Gospel of Mark, there's no quibbling about whether John should baptize Jesus or not. Mark simply says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Mark places Jesus' baptism before his ministry begins, not to give us historical information, but to establish his identity and his authority. Jesus was baptized so that he would be conscious of his call and his belovedness. Jesus' unique status as the Son of God was confirmed by the dove and the voice. Just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. The word torn apart is very vivid in Greek. It means more like ripped apart. And it's in the passive voice, indicating that it was an act of God. It's the same verb used when the curtain of the temple was torn in two when Jesus died. Jesus' ministry answers the prophet Isaiah's longing in chapter 64, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." The heavens long sealed were suddenly flung open as God appeared in this world through Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. Did you notice that in the verse right before this scripture in Mark, John says to the people, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The dove, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, did not descend upon John, but upon Jesus. And then finally, there was the voice saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Who is this Jesus? Is he the one for whom the Hebrews were waiting for centuries? Is he the king of Israel, or the servant God, or the one to be sacrificed? Is he the one to bring salvation to the whole world, the mighty ruler of the Jews, or the Messiah? By his own words and by his own deeds, Jesus qualifies any Old Testament representation of the Son of God. The Old Testament points to Jesus, but Jesus is the one who determines what it means to be the Son of God. Did only Jesus see the dove? Did only Jesus hear that voice? Nothing in this story suggests that anyone else saw or heard anything except Jesus. The truth that Jesus was the Son of God was known only to Jesus at this point. Others discovered who he was by listening and watching and following. Jesus' baptism mattered. Because without the dove, without the water, without the words of affirmation and love, Jesus could not claim the ministry that was before him. You too are God's beloved. Do you know that? Beloved means greatly loved, dearly loved, especially loved, unconditionally loved. Your baptism matters because you too are beloved, and you too need to know and claim your belovedness in order to become all that God created you to be. You are chosen by God and marked by love, every one of you. What exactly is this belovedness? For one thing, belovedness is the cleansing of the water. As God's beloved, we know that no matter what we have done in the past, God not only forgives our mistakes and our sins and our lethargy, but God gives us hope for the future. We don't have to be chained to our past. Through baptism, we die to our old self and rise to a new life. Just as Samuel Wesley and Lillian Joan will be baptized later this morning, so today can be a new start for you as well. "The preacher washed away all my transgressions," Delmar said. "It's the straight and narrow from here on out." Belovedness is the cleansing of water. Belovedness is also the flowing action of the river. What ebbs and flows through your inner being? Anger, grief, sadness, joy, excitement, passion, despair, hope, perseverance. Our life is a journey, a river, moving relentlessly toward the kingdom of God. At times the way is rough. We got to ride the rapids, endure the storm, wade out into deep water, or avoid the tempting comfort of the slipstream. Other times, the current seems to be moving gently in just the right direction. Still other times, we get stuck in an eddy, or we decide to fight the current. The river may take us at times to places we would rather not go, but our belovedness always leads the way. Where are you going with your belovedness? Belovedness is also the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the primary manifestations of the Holy Spirit is power. You know the questions we ask when there is a baptism or when new members join the church. You've heard the questions often, but do you ever think about the implication of those questions? God's presence with us through the Holy Spirit in baptism gives us power and freedom to renounce evil, repent of our sin, resist oppression and injustice, put our whole trust in Jesus Christ, and serve him as our Lord. Have you ever wondered what kind of water we use here for baptism? You know, there are preachers that will go to the Holy Land, and they'll buy some water from the Jordan River. You know, you can buy it in little vials. It's pretty expensive, but you can take it home with you, and then you can use it in baptism, and some people just bring water bottles and fill the Jordan River with water and just check it through in their luggage. Well, Gary and I have been to Israel a number of times, and a week from tomorrow, we are leading a group of 21 people from First Church who are heading off to the Holy Land. Gary and I have also been to the Jordan River. We've been in the Jordan River, and I can't speak for Gary, but I don't think you want to drink the water in the Jordan River. I don't think you want to smell the water in the Jordan River. It's kind of dirty, like a lot of rivers. I'm not sure that you might want to be baptized in the Jordan River. But you know what? This water here is not from the Jordan River. And it's not Dasani, Aquafina, Evian, or Ice Mountain water. No, this water is ordinary tap water. This was Birmingham water. This is water that comes right from the sink in the sacristy. But oh, what Holy Spirit power is in this water. You see, God specializes in taking the ordinary stuff of human life and turning it into something sacred. This is holy water. This is life-giving, life-enhancing, life-transforming water. This water not only transformed and saved and redeemed Delmar, this water saves and transforms and redeems you and me as well. Ordinary water made extraordinarily holy. Belovedness is not only the power of the Spirit, but belovedness is also the gift of grace. You are God's beloved. With you, God is well pleased. Do you know that? Do you really know that? Belovedness is not connected with rank or status or age or gender or office or sexual orientation or job or income or skin color. Belovedness simply is. God loves you because God cannot help God's self. So God loves every person in this world, including those who committed the Charlie Hebdo murders and the Boko Haram fighters who massacred up to 2,000 innocent civilians in Nigeria last week. Oh, make no mistake. God hated the evil that they perpetrated. God also still loves them because God cannot help God's self. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Did Did you know that one of the primary tenets of Dr. King's teaching and theology was the beloved community? For Dr. King, the beloved community was nothing more than the kingdom of God on this earth where all people share equally in its welfare. As early as 1956, Dr. King spoke of the beloved community as the end goal of nonviolent boycotts. In a speech at a victory rally following the announcement of a favorable U.S. Supreme Court decision desegregating the seats on Montgomery, Alabama buses, King said, "The end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opponents into friends. It is this love which will bring about miracles in the hearts of people." Then 7 years later in 1963, in his sermon, Loving Your Enemies, Dr. King addressed the role of unconditional love in struggling for the beloved community. He said, "With every ounce of energy, we must continue to rid this nation of the incubus of segregation. But we shall not in the process relinquish our privilege and our obligation to love. While abhorring segregation, we shall love the segregationist. This is the only way to create beloved community." My friends, belovedness is not something that you and I can earn or buy or ever deserve. Furthermore, belovedness is not something that we can hoard, save, or store up. There is an unlimited supply of belovedness. So we can give away as much as we can and still have as much as we need. When we know that we are beloved, our eyes are open to see others as beloved, even people who are not like us. If you and I accept our own belovedness, then we will want to give something back, to share it with others, to form a beloved community ourselves. Belovedness is like breathing. We breathe in the belovedness of God, filling our spirits with grace. And then we breathe out the belovedness of God, sharing the Spirit's power with others. Do you know what God desires more than anything else for First United Methodist Church? God yearns for you and me to become more perfectly the beloved community. There are lots of things in this world that you can question, but there is no question about your belovedness or the belovedness of any person in this world. Yes, we may need to question at times what we're doing with our belovedness, but we never have to question the gift itself. You are my child, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Come on in, friends. The water's fine. Let us pray.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
stores are closed, businesses are closed, schools are closed, our church office is closed. There is a reason for that. The reason is so that we take the opportunity and the privilege of reflecting on our own belovedness and our call from Jesus Christ to spread and share that belovedness throughout our country and throughout the world so that one day we will have one beloved community. Go in peace as God's beloved. Amen.
Thank you.